The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Agile Upside. Welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. I'm your co-host, Andy Cleff, and I'm here with Christopher Merman.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Hello.
Chris, it's been a while since we've spoken in person.
It's too long.
Was it Mile High Agile one of the last time I kissed you? Oh, wait a minute.
No, that was in Orlando.
That was in Florida. Wow. It's been a long
time. Yeah, that was Orlando for Agile 2017?
18? It's been 2 years since before.
Or was it in? I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, the last time we spoke was not too long ago. We had our July visioning meeting for the Agile Uprising, and one of the ideas that bubbled up was doing a community outreach, helping the 500 or so members of the coalition and our extended listening audience find their voice in some way. Do you remember kind of what the elevator summary of that, the elevator pitch? Don't you hate the elevator? You like the elevator pitch?
I think that the format's a bit hokey, but as you told me earlier when we were chatting, apparently I like hokey. So
community support. What were we talking about?
I honestly think volunteer
to do something.
We did. Well, you know what's funny is you and I are great about volunteering to do stuff. I think in the end, what we're hoping, we have a hypothesis that I have, is that folks are interested in doing more. Oftentimes, you don't know how to do more or where to get going to do more. Hmm. And so what we thought is maybe we could offer an opportunity. So if that is, hey, I've got an idea, but I've never written a blog. Or I've got an idea, but I've never spoken. I've got an idea, but I've never done a podcast. And I think others on the board were maybe none of the above. It may be like, hey, I've got the coolest idea for an Agile t-shirt you've ever seen. Right. As Jay says, that's half of the shirts and certs formula for success in the Agile industry. Whatever your idea is.
So helping people.
You wanted to do something with it, right? We'd like to help. We'd like to use our platform to help.
All right. So listeners, here's the hypothesis. If you have an idea and you've been wondering how to share it, you can reach out to the Agile Uprising and we can help you with that. We don't know exactly what that help is going to look like because we don't know exactly what your idea is.
We've been interviewing people for 2 years. Plus, on the podcast, we've also spoken at conferences, and we're not just you and I, Andy, but members of our group. We have been very fortunate, very lucky in our careers. I am so lucky. People still return my phone calls and texts when I reach out to them. I'm thankful for everybody that spends time with me. And maybe if we can't help, we can find someone that can.
Yeah.
You know,
one of my favorite roles, connector of dots. And you're right. We do have this extended network. You and I were talking just before we hit the record button about a blog post that you put out a couple months back on showing up as you, your true self, and how many people responded to you sort of one-to-one through email and other channels that they thought they were alone. So it may be part of this hypothesis is there's lots of people who think they're the only one with an idea that they don't know how to get off the ground or out of their head. It might be fun to make that visible.
I think so.
Make it an open discussion. Not necessarily to brainstorm on those ideas. So for example, we have the coalition.agileuprising.com site that has intermittent traffic, but a lot of listeners, a lot of watchers, a lot of lurkers, and a lot of people. What we found out when it went down inadvertently through a minor technical problem called DNS, and people were like, where to go? But we had no idea you use that as a reference. I guess we should look at analytics a little more. But when we brought it back up, we saw the traffic come up. Just like your blog post, that you're like, am I the only one in the world that has this situation?
Right.
You suddenly find out that you're not. So we could post this vehicle, whatever it looks like, on the coalition. We all have a decent Twitter following, social media, to throw it out there with a hashtag of something that will work out and see what we get back. So like any hypothesis, what's the criteria that we either consider it success or failure?
I think that if I do this, this will happen, right? Our hypothesis is that if we give people an opportunity to connect on ideas, topics, whatever, we can either be the vehicle for help or be the vehicle to help two people help each other. Maybe your next co-presenter at a conference is just waiting for you to say the idea that you've been doing it. Or maybe you all just collaborate on the idea and go present it on your own. I've done both of those things with conference topics. Or I've also gotten ideas. I wrote a blog post a while back on years ago on, or however long ago it was, on organizational silence, because you threw a white paper in my face and was like, hey, read this. I dare you to say nothing about it. Right. Yes. And I'm like, damn it. Okay. Now I can't sleep. And so now I'm going to, and you said in record time, I had 800 words written on it or whatever.
And right? It was a great post. We'll put a link to that. So here's the funny thing. Your post then kind of, I don't know if it was calling my bluff, but it stimulated more neurons in my brain to fire to research more deeply into the topic, which then became a series of posts by me that you picked up. And, you know, maybe someday it'll be a conference submittal or...
You know, I don't think I got one additional Twitter follower thanks to that huge series of articles you did. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Oh, sorry. I'll repost it. What you get.
It's all about my fault. Like everything you do, it's all about my... Listen, when I have 175,000 Twitter followers like you do, then I can, I'll complain.
I lost a couple last week. I'm down to...
Oh, no, you poor thing. Here's the thing, right? We're joking a lot, and I am really grateful that I can call Andy a colleague and a collaborator. He's very, very open. We've done a lot professionally and also been through a lot personally in the last probably year and a half together. But here's the thing. I had to be introduced to Andy through our board. I didn't know Andy prior to me joining AU, and much like our board for Agile Uprising, I would not be, if I hadn't been connected through Gifford and Lockard, I wouldn't have the close ties, or Colleen, like I wouldn't have the close ties to the rest of you that I do. And now that I do, well, we're all family. The same thing happens with our community. If you put yourself out there, my hypothesis is that we're too many of us are that we're the only... You might be the only agilist or the only weirdo that's still, you know, checking out the principles and the manifesto or whatever in your organization. You may be on an island, right? You don't know the people that are just waiting to collaborate with you on an idea or to hear your words and experience, kind of a thing. You don't know that when you walk up to someone at a conference and say, thank you so much for doing this, for writing this, for sharing this, I appreciate it, that you are then you know, working together, collaborating together, friends together, kind of a thing. People that are waiting to write. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of that's not visible anymore, Merm, right? So you wrote that, very vulnerable blog post. People don't comment, so you don't see feedback. I don't know if you have number of reads turned on, but most often people don't. So in terms of visible engagement, for most of us, it's invisible. But your inbox, I bet you, overflowed and is still overflowing with other people coming and saying, you touched something there that resonates with me. I thought I was the only one, and now I know there's at least two.
Yeah, what I will say is that for those that don't know what I'm referring to, I wrote a blog post on what my emotions meant to me professionally, personally and professionally. And for a long time, I thought there was something wrong with me because my emotions kept, air quotes, getting in the way of what I wanted to accomplish in my career. And really what I was doing is I just wasn't engaging. I had a problem with who I was. I thought there was something wrong. And through lots of time of life coaching and personal growth and going through a divorce and going through, you know, family turmoil and rediscovering myself and now in a long-term relationship again and happy in my career and finding ways to use my emotions actually professionally in the real world, right? I figured out I was fine the whole time. It was me that was the problem. I say all that to say the same thing is happening, whether it's your emotions or whether it's your approach to work or your whatever idea it is you have. I thought there was something wrong with that because I didn't have anybody to bounce that off of. I didn't have other real people to engage with. And so you asked about like read count or whatnot. My ego can really get away. I don't look at like how much I get reads on stuff or retweets on stuff because I think that, oh, I'm something just because I did this or whatever, which really in the end, I'm just putting the ideas out there that I'm too redneck and Texan enough to know any better to not just vomit my ideas onto the page or a podcast. I beg to differ.
You said earlier that if one person comes up to you at a conference and says, thank you, that is reward enough for most of us, right?
It's the same way for you, right?
Yeah, like
if someone
exactly
said, thank
the
you.
Same way. Thank you. I appreciated that. And I don't need 10, 1,000 or 5,000 retweets. Just one that says, mm-hmm. thank you. All right. So here's our offer to the community. If you've got an idea and then you've been wondering what to do with it, let us help. The scope could be, as you talked about, presentations, any of the Agile conferences, anything outside of that. Maybe you want to branch out of that. Maybe you want to do a local meetup, podcasts. We're always looking for ideas. If you want to be a guest, heck, if you want to co-host the Agile Uprising, that would be cool. Help me bust the roof off of this. Let's do a sky's the limit, right? Because all that stuff, conferences, meetups, podcasts, we do a lot of that. And that would be easy. Blow the roof off of this, Merman. What's the wildest thing? Like if we helped one person do this thing, what would it be?
So, it could be, I think Andy, the biggest boost to folks in the community is encouragement for where they're at, encouragement to take a step, right? So maybe you're like, man, there's no way I'm writing a book on Agile. Right. Maybe there's no way I've got that. I don't even have a blog post. Like I'm not a writer. Right. You and I are writers because that's what we've just done. We just created an online diary and just called it a blog kind of. It's all I call my blog is my professional diary. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you're not a talker. Maybe you're not a speaker or presenter. Maybe you don't want to do that, but maybe you've got an idea for encouragement cards for, like the electronic or paper to hand to members of the community. When Lisa Adkins was starting her 10 Women Strong initiative, she shared with me like, hey, I think that, if you gave this to someone, you know, a woman that's, you know, trying to get the next step in her journey, right? It would be encouraging. Would you consider doing that, right? Like just that, just the thought of, hey, would you read this and then give this to someone that it made sense to? It was impactful to me that A, she would think I'd be willing to do this, and B, that I could bring someone's day up. Maybe you've got an idea for that, or maybe you've got an idea for a Twitter account that just looks for encouragement in the community. We could use such a dose of positivity in our community right now. All we do is argue about
frameworks. Troll each other.
And, yeah, we troll each other on frameworks and which conference is stupid and, and, you know, you don't really know how to run an open space. So like whatever, you know, or your book's dumb, your podcast is dumb. Like, and for the record, I know, like, all of those things, all those things are applicable, right? We could just really use a bit of, I know this is super, super touchy feely, but the agilists that I've spoken to at conferences and who have responded to podcasts and blogs and social media and kind of a thing, all they're looking for, like, nobody has said, thank you for talking down to me. Or thank you for belittling me.
I appreciated that when you cut me down publicly.
Yeah.
That really brought my ego back into check.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, when you talk shit about me, it really lifted me up, kind of a thing, right? And I know this because I a couple of Januaries ago, I wrote a blog post on if I felt like I wasn't sure if Twitter was really good for our community anymore.
Yeah.
With the stuff that I saw happening on social media. And it really made me think twice about the amount of time I spend on agile Twitter, kind of a thing. But if we chose to take a step in the other direction, maybe you have a dose of positivity that's not in a blog, podcast, you know, conference submission, whatever. Maybe it's
in
something
format you want, right?
Maybe it's something smaller, right? Like, what could you do to bring a dose of positivity to our community? Because I know, I don't know about you, but Andy, but I feel like we could use it right now.
Yeah. So large or small listeners, you know, whether it is something as, I don't want to say simple, but positivity cards.
Twitter. Simple accounts. Is good. Simple is good.
Or if you want to go big, a book. We've talked on this podcast many times with people who have written books. And so many of them are wide open to talking about the experience. And there's a connection point that we could help a listener who's thinking, yeah, I have a book idea, but I'm not a writer. And many people have paired up with other people. There's ghostwriting out there. There's a whole way to get your voice out there. So another blue sky thing that bubbled into my brain was, what if you wanted to join a board of a, you know, sort of scruffy, agile, uprising community to help find your voice? We have room. We're always looking for another heartbeat on our board.
What's funny is every time, as someone who came in after the board was started, every time we welcome in someone new to the board, it's like a dose of caffeine or adrenaline to the rest of us. And it kind of pushes us like, oh, that Elia guy, man, he's thinking of ideas like, man, and now I got to step up my game. Cause I gotta keep up with him. I got to still show that I'm still new and shiny, that I'm a cool board member, you know, which is obviously I pick on Paul all the time, but he
did bring new energy, but
he
did. Know, also he brought with him something that I think every one of us has, and part of this initiative is hoping to address, is a bit of imposter syndrome, where he came and said, yeah, I'm kind of in awe of all you guys, you know, like, what are you talking about, Paul?
Stupid.
Yeah, I haven't done this kind of thing or that kind of thing, or I've not written a blog in a long time, and I was thinking of this new idea, and we're like, dude, that's a great fucking idea.
And I can imagine. Like,
really? Really? I'm not just a fool? I'm not just pretending? So anybody out there who thinks, yeah, I'm an imposter, and the minute I show up, they're going to call me on it. Yeah, give that up. Because, you know, I think we all feel the same way. We wake up every morning wondering if someone's going to discover that we don't know what the hell we're doing either.
Yeah, the number of things I've written, I'm like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever written. Or, like, did you hear the number of ums that I said in a podcast? I can't even think of the amount of times that I've started a sentence with so or or I sent a submission to a conference and they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Thanks for playing.
Unfortunately, the rejections that I get, and there's plenty of them, are simply generic. I wish for those conference submissions, there was more feedback and, you know, thank you. However, here's what was lacking. We thought, you know, it was an unoriginal idea, or we have 57 other people submit the same thing. You're on to something. Why don't you get together with them and do a group thing?
But wouldn't it be great if someone volunteered? Maybe not for the Agile Alliance, because we get thousands, as someone who's on the program team, we get thousands of submissions every year, but maybe to like a smaller conference. Maybe you volunteer to write more personal rejections. Like, this is why we didn't pick you. That would be so great. Like, what a great idea, Andy.
There was a book, and don't quote me and don't look it up, and I'll put some show notes and find the actual author. But it was somebody really famous. It might have been like James Thurber. And he collected all of his rejection notices, everything he submitted. And some of them were hilarious. And some of them were really touching, and some of them were just generic. I'll find a link to that book. I'm drawing a blank, but yeah, it'd be really great to collect all our rejection notices through the years.
which is just a series of generic emails.
But I wish they weren't, because here we are in an Agile community where one of the core principles is adapt and respond to actual feedback that you get that's meaningful. If everybody just stopped using your products and didn't tell you why, you would have no possibility of learning.
That's right.
If you keep submitting and you don't get in and nobody tells you why, you'll never get any better. Maybe that's one of the things we offer, right? Send us your rejected proposals and we'll give you the what we think and how we think we could make it with you.
Maybe you've tried Scatterspoke and you've got some ideas for Colleen on, like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did this? I've wanted to do this with your tool. It's funny how I don't know if you agree. Someone said this to me at a conference once. I think it was April Jefferson, who's a fantastic individual. She said, I feel like we, for an industry that cares about the left side of the manifesto, we sure do spend a lot of the time talking about the right. I mean, think about the number of products and conversations, abstracts, everything that's all focused on tools, yep. that's focused on contracts, that's focused on planning, following a plan. I mean, like, we spend so much time talking about it. Like, how do we make, what is your idea to shift the conversation back to the left side of the manifesto? Because we sure could use it. We have, you walk through conference floors and all it is a new tool for this, a new testing tool, a new DevOps tool, and I'm not saying tools are bad. I'm just saying we're spending a lot of time because that's sellable. You can sell licenses to that. You can make money off of that.
I've never looked at the sponsors room in that light. And now I reflect on it and you're absolutely
They're consultancies that they want contract negotiation. Now they say, I work for a consulting company, right? So let me just throw my disclaimer of consulting can help you. And there's a bunch of us that are consultants. But man, if you just really look at it and go, are you focused on the right side or the left side? How are you going to get it more to the left side? How do we get conversation moved more? How do we get ideas more?
Right? Is the right side easier to address? And is that why we go there? Is there more money there? There's something... That's driving that behavior.
It's money. It's absolutely money. And for the record, I'm okay making money, right? I make so much more money than I thought I would at this age of my life. Thankful to the fact that agile coaching and business agility is such in high demand.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd do this. I totally fell ass backwards into this career. I'm thankful for it.
What did you think you'd be doing at this point in your career?
So my first IT job was a QA lead, and I'm not joking, Andy. I dare you to not laugh at this. I said, I can't wait for one day that I promote and I finally get to be a project manager. I thought that one, like, the pinnacle of my career would be, I'll be a project manager.
I'll have a clipboard.
And then I'll get my P. I mean, I investigated getting a PMP for the longest time. For the record, there's nothing wrong with having a PMP.
It's no, just nothing.
It doesn't fit me. There's a lot of useful things to it. Yeah. But I thought that was going to be the pinnacle of my career. If I did that, I'll spend the next 30 years being a project manager, and then I'll retire. Right? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I looked at. I had a very, like, my first come to Jesus moment in my agile journey was at a local meetup. He was like, he just said, man, like, this is great that you're doing this. I think I was speaking that night at a local meetup. He said, this is great. You're doing awesome. Like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just doing it. And he goes, no. What do you want to do? And then I said, I don't know, like, maybe get this cert and maybe, like, be a trainer someday, or, you know, maybe be a project manager someday, or, you know, or maybe, like, I don't know. He's like, you think so. He goes, don't take this the wrong way. You think so small. You think, wow. You think so small. You have to think bigger than that. So I have to constantly challenge myself to go, how am I thinking too small? How am I thinking too practically? How do I raise my level of vision? All right. How do I raise it up a level?
I love
raise
that.
My vision.
And I want to wrap it back to our hypothesis and throw this challenge out to our listening audience and our members on the coalition. Are you thinking too small? Is your idea too small? Or is it just right size? We'll challenge it with you. We don't know the answers. We know the questions. And one of the questions is, how can it be bigger? So I started reading up on something else, totally tangential, but I'll weave it back in a minute. PMP and certifications. I saw that the PMP Institute now has professional Scrum Master 2-level training that's including, get this, liberating structures and learning 3.0. And my mind just went, poof.
Wow. Yeah.
Good for them. Good for them. Because the last time I looked at the PMP was, it was 10 years ago, but it was all project management. I'm like, guys, no, this is behind. But so
Bowman's back of the class stuff is permeating all of our
beautiful,
like, all of our stuff. Like the day that I go to a conference and the entire, just one day of a conference everything is based off of liberating structures that we're moving somewhere. Right. But even that's an MVP, right? That's not a real outcome. When Andy says think small, it's okay to start small, but don't let that be the end.
Yeah.
Right? Like how are you limiting your own potential? I do it all the time. I do it all the time. Andy and I were talking about, we both asked each other, like, in a year from now, what sounds good? And as just you and I are talking just now, I'm telling myself, like, maybe I'm thinking too small that I can, maybe I can accomplish more in a year. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good that what I'm doing, but maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit.
Or
maybe I should
challenge.
Be doing more. Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you set the bar so low, if you set hurdles that are just a couple inches off the ground, eventually you'll just stop running overall. You're like, man, these hurdles are so easy. Why am I even doing it at all?
Exactly. I started running a year ago in March, and
you did a half marathon, you stud.
Wait, it gets better, Chris. Here's the story. I told myself I wanted to run a mile because I hadn't run in like 10 years. If I could just,
I remember telling you, I was like, just walk the stairs at work.
I forgot all about that conversation.
If I could,
and then eventually,
it'd be great. And then I got 5K. And then a buddy of mine who's a runner is like, oh, you can do 5Ks. If you do three 5Ks in a week, you run a half a marathon, no problem. So last fall, I ran my first half marathon. And my buddy Frank, if you're listening, I don't know whether to hug you or curse you, he's at the finish line. He's like, that was pretty good. Now, all you have to do is run one half marathon a month for 3 months, and you could do a full.
I hate this person already. I want to punch him in the face.
I ran my first full marathon in April.
Oh, my God. Did I just miss that?
No, I was quiet. I was, you know, I didn't tell anybody because I was sure I was going to either die or quit.
Or jinx yourself.
Or jinx myself. It took me over 6 hours, but I made it to the effing finish line.
Listen, everybody, I no joke. What was it a year ago that we just did some personal like chat sessions and I said just walk the you said your goal is to walk some stairs every day at work. Because I wasn't journaling enough, so I told you I was gonna journal more. And I did. I journaled more. And you said, I'm going to walk stairs. And then you were like, stairs aren't enough. And now you ran a... God, that's awesome. Dude, that's awesome. Miles.
So here we have two people who had an idea, and we helped each other to how to share it. So whatever our metrics of success here, Chris, do we need to get three people from our listening audience to join in? So let's just rough numbers. We got 500 people. If 10% respond, we've got 50 people that are like, yeah, I've got an idea. And if we help 10% of that, if we get 5 people to actually bring that idea to reality, whatever morphs it goes through in the process, is that a good KPI? 5 people?
I think there's more people that want to do stuff than that. I mean,
5's too low.
If you're listening to this podcast, if you've made it this far in the podcast, if you haven't flipped your iPhone off and turned us off by now, if you have not done that, yeah, like you've got something. You just need to do something about it. So we're challenging you. Do something with it.
All right.
Right. And we want to help. We're here to help. So let us
look for some links in our Twitter feeds. Look on the Coalition website for some topics where you can join in and start talking about what you've got. Is it a meetup? Is it a presentation? Is it a post? Is it a book you want to write? Nothing too small, nothing too big. So with that, let's wrap this one up. Here's our new wrapping up sound. No more theme music. Merrim, what do you got? I don't know when this podcast is going to come out. So let's see. August. What do you got coming up in August, September?
In August, I will be at Agile 2019 in DC.
Woohoo! Me too.
And speaking of which, on Friday, usually everybody jets first thing Friday morning or Thursday night. You should stay Friday this year. We're doing something called Agile Midway. It's a bunch of smaller topics on how to be helpful. I'm doing a session on if you've always wanted to speak, but you've lucked out. You haven't lucked out writing submissions or abstracts yet, I'm going to do a session on how to write better abstracts and submissions to conferences. So you should totally come check that out.
I'm in.
All right. Whatever. Well, you don't need my help.
Oh, I always like a better abstract. So I'll be there that whole week as well. I'm coming in the weekend before and doing coaches camp. That's the first time I've done it. I'm looking forward to it. And then
there you go.
I've got to talk. I think it's Tuesday. I got to look at the schedule again. Steps towards self-learning teams and developmental organizations. I'm looking forward to doing that.
Oh, that's a good topic. And you all should go check out Andy. That's one of his sweet spots in his expertise bag. So you got to check him out.
My passion. Like, you know, that whenever I do any of those like via character things or the moving motivators, the first thing that always comes up for me is learning something new. So
I thought you were passionate about losing money at the horse track.
That's another story. I won money, Chris.
If you spend
$12.50.
If you spend $50 to win $12, that's not called winning.
Oh, I was never good at math. Well, thank you. Thank you for hanging out this long, our dear listeners. You've made it through yet another rambling episode of the Agile Uprising podcast. If you don't like this one, don't leave any comments, please. That'll just
only positive. Only positive.
Only positive, please. That's and right. I'm down to my last beer, Chris. I don't know what you're drinking over there, but if you give us $5 a month on Patreon, and the link will be in the show notes, we'll show
you. Yeah, I can have another Paloma.
Well, we'll send you some swag. We have some great stickers that we keep brewing up. Shout out to Scrimando for the latest Taco Agile stuff. And we'll see you along the trail. Chris, pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Annie.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.